24 minutes now before 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm here today filling in for Joy Cardine. Well, if you've been a music fan for a while, like, say, decades, you remember what happened to records when CDs first came out. And, of course, MP3 showed up, iPods. Of course, you can play music off the cloud now if you'd like. But through all of that, vinyl records never totally disappeared. And now, in 2013, 30 years after the CD, they're making a comeback of sorts, but maybe not in the way that you'd expect. Stephen Thompson joins us this hour. He is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music who has some ideas about what attracts listeners to vinyl. If you're a music listener who's been around, do you miss vinyl? If you're a product of the digital age or a convert, do you fail to see what all the fuss is about when we're talking about records? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Drop us an email if you'd like, talk@wpr.org, or you can post a comment to the Joy Cardine Show page on Facebook. And since we're talking about analog technology, if you'd like to write us a letter with a stamp, you can put it in an envelope and send it to us, and it'll get here in a couple of days, and we can read it on the air. Stephen Thompson, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hello, Gene. It's good to be there.
Well, it's great to have you here, and it's great to be talking about this topic this morning. And, you know, for people who remember what happened with CDs and haven't been paying a lot of attention lately, the idea of going out and buying a brand new record in 2013, that has to sound weird to people sometimes.
Well, it depends on your outlook. I think that part of the appeal of vinyl for a lot of music consumers is that it's something that you hold in your hand. And I think given the choice for a lot of people between vinyl and, say, a CD, if you are the type of person who really wants to be able to hold music in your hand, why not hold something that's bigger, that is perceived as sounding warmer, that has art that you can hang on your wall, that can sort of identify you as the sort of person who loves vinyl. You know, I think vinyl has a lot of cachet and a lot of warmth for people. And I think, I'm the type of the sort of crusty old timer who prefers CDs to digital or vinyl. But I'm 40 years old. I'm an old guy. So
I have some bad news for you, Steve.
I know.
You're not old.
I may well.
Just for the record.
I may well find myself getting even older.
there's this whole debate. It's interesting. And for people who don't have this debate, records versus CDs versus digital technology, if you're not in the middle of all this, it doesn't sound very interesting. But when you are in the middle of this, this is something people are passionate about. And I imagine you've had long, in-depth arguments that last well into the night when you're talking about this.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if my arguments have lasted well into the night. I have kids, so I'm usually putting them to bed. But I think that a lot of times when you're talking about music, you're talking about emotions. You're talking about how you feel, how you relate to the world. Music is an incredibly personal thing for a lot of people, and so how you prefer to consume it, whether you view it as a strictly utilitarian thing, like I listen to music when I'm running, I listen to music when I'm doing the dishes, I listen to music when I'm in the car. For a lot of people, music is kind of an on the go, I need it with me all the time. But for people particularly who are attracted to vinyl, part of the it's weird. It's like you can view it as a bug or a feature. It's some people would view it as a good thing or a bad thing. When you listen to music on vinyl, you're kind of tethered to one place. So if you only listen to your vinyl records when you're in your rec room or in your bedroom or in your living room or wherever you keep your turntable, you start to view music from the perspective of that place. And usually that place is a place of comfort. I think it's one reason. Yes, there's a warmth to the sound of vinyl, but I think there's also a warmth to the place that a lot of people listen to vinyl.
We've got some Facebook comments already popping up this morning. In fact, some commentators are having a debate right now about whether talking about vinyl is a hipster thing or whether it's actually legit. So are we just hipsters talking here, or is this an actual conversation we should be having?
Well, Gene, I don't know you too well personally, but I'm guessing you're roughly about as hip as I am. Which is...
Let me tell you, that is saying something. You have no idea.
So, you know, I always laugh at the notion of hipsterism. I mean, that's a whole we could talk for an hour on that topic alone. I feel like hipster is kind of one of these words that doesn't really mean anything, that's just meant to dismiss something. And yes, I think there are people who buy vinyl to look cool. I think because it is a niche market, you know, because I mean, we're still talking about, you know, there's a movement toward a quote unquote movement toward vinyl, but we're still talking about like 1 or 2% of total music sales here. So it is a small thing. And I do think there is an element of vanity and also a certain amount of privilege when we're talking about vinyl, buying vinyl today. Vinyl is quite expensive, new records compared to what you would spend even for a CD and certainly for digital files. Generally, when you're buying an album, you know, you go see a band on tour and you buy, you know, the vinyl, or you go to a record store and buy vinyl, you know, it's often, you know, we're often talking about $20, you know, a $20 item. So, you know, I certainly understand people who are skeptical of it, especially people who lived through vinyl and saw the many downsides to it. You know, vinyl warps, it breaks, it skips, the LP knocks through the spine. I have cats. Cats sharpen their claws on vinyl. They're attracted to vinyl. And so, you know, I certainly understand that. I think there's a healthy skepticism toward vinyl, but I don't think it's necessarily just people who are doing it to look cool. I think people genuinely, a lot of people like when they own music, when they think of themselves as owning a piece of music, they like something that they can hold in their hand. And I think, you know, when you get right down to it, if you are the type of person who likes the music owning experience to have a tactile quality to it, you know, why not own something that's kind of bigger and prettier?
So who is buying vinyl these days? Is it just crusty old people like me who can't let go of the past, or are other people into it too?
Well, I think, you know, and that's one thing that a lot of people are saying about the resurgence in vinyl is that so many of the people buying it are too young to even remember it as a dominant form. You know, I made the transition to CDs in the late 1980s when I was a teenager, and I had, you know, I, you know, again, I sort of had that view, like, ugh, vinyl, it's so heavy, and it's, you know, I hate the skipping, and, you know, but I like to take my music with me, et cetera. But I think that you know, it's easy for a lot of the younger audience that is a big part of the vinyl audience to romanticize it and romanticize the kind of crackle of it. And so it's weird. It's a little bit of, you know, older people who feel nostalgic for it, mixed with younger people who view it as a novel and intimate way to listen to music.
And it's also interesting to see what's being released on vinyl, because there are some larger acts. You know, I think The National just released something on vinyl, for example. But I'm seeing also a lot of re-releases of smaller labels. For example, in Minneapolis, there's a label called Secret Stash that just released 70s funk and soul stuff available on vinyl and also on CD. So, I mean, it's sort of all over the map.
Yeah, and it also, I think it depends somewhat on what is perceived to sound best on vinyl. You know, for example, one of the bigger selling records of the year is this Daft Punk album, mm-hmm. Random Access Memories. You know, that sold something like 20,000 LPs in its first week, which is a large number when we're talking about vinyl. Now, it's a dance record, a funk record. It fits. There are certain genres lend themselves to vinyl more than others. Certainly, dance music, but also, you know, a lot of warm, you know, funk and soul. And with reissues, a lot of what you're selling when you're reissuing a classic record or a lost treasure or a lot of this stuff, you're selling the time frame from which it came. So a lot of that music would naturally have been heard on vinyl, and so it makes sense when you're reissuing it to put it out in that same format.
Let's bring a few listeners in before the break. We'll start with John, who joins us from Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, I'm an audiophile. I'm 65, and I've been an audiophile since I was roughly 16. and I follow the Absolute Sound and Stereophile magazines religiously. And the reason people are going back to vinyl is vinyl has the closest verisimilitude to reality in terms of musical reality versus all the other mediums. Nothing is as accurate and brings you closer to the actual performance than vinyl. It prompts CDs, SACDs, and digital downloads still to this day. And as far as that goes, the tube amp has not been superseded by the transistor amp as far as getting equally close to music. The trouble with vinyl is just what you guys have indicated. It's not convenient. You have to buy an expensive turntable, an expensive cartridge. You have to have a phono preamp. And that's what has really led to the, I think, the degradation of music. You know, I listen to tons of classical music, and I use a CD, but my amp is a tube amp, an old Ico SG70 with a pair of conventional speakers that I made. And that's my way of getting close to music. But again, the reason they're buying this is because it is the way to realize what music really sounds like.
John, thanks so much for the call. And Stephen Thompson, there it is. There's the argument.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely a very strong audiophile argument, too. I mean, people who, you know, I talked about a little bit about the rec room, the bedroom, the intimacy, the warmth of a space. Yeah, you're also getting the warmth of a sound. And the trade-off, of course, is, you know, we are an on-demand, everywhere, anywhere kind of society more and more, where, you know, we're accustomed to being able to push a button, hear whatever we want, when we are, wherever we want. And so there are different ways to experience music, and there are different ways to integrate music into our lives. And what John is talking about is being able to, you know, be in a place where you can absorb the music in the best quality. You know, it's sort of the equivalent almost of going to a live show, and one reason people go to see live music is to feel it more fully. But you know, you also, as you know, the downside, I mean, if you want to call it a downside, and it can be an advantage, is that you have to do it in that one place. You have your, if you have your tube amp, you know, and all this equipment and that John was talking about, you really can only have that in a single place. And so you know, I think part of the appeal, but also part of the downside of vinyl, is the limit that it places on where you can listen to it.
We've got to take a break, and when we return, we'll continue our discussion about the resurgence, so to speak, of vinyl. And before we go, that here is a vinyl cut that I used to listen to back in the day in my Radio Shack turntable from 1976. Here are the Ramones.
Hey, oh, let's go.
I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes now before 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine, and we are talking about vinyl versus CDs. I guess vinyl, not versus CDs. They're complementary in a way. Stephen Thompson is with us. He is the editor and reviewer for NPR Music, who joins us this hour. And we're talking about the fact that records in 2013, vinyl records, still exist, and they are still a format, maybe not a big one, but one that is making some waves and having some impact. Stephen Thompson, before we get back to phone calls, any music that you have to absolutely hear on vinyl, or does it really matter to you that much?
Well, I think that, you know, it's interesting. I read an advice column at NPR Music, and somebody wrote in with, you know, sort of swimming in regret that they had gotten rid of their vinyl collection, and sort of asked, where do I begin? Where do I start rebuilding my collection? And my response was to start with the first thing that you think of when you think of listening to LPs. You know, what do you miss hearing on LP? And I think that's one reason a lot of records that people listen to in their rec room, a lot of that stuff was initially, you know, mixed in such a way that it would sound, you know, it was mixed for the purpose of being played on vinyl records. And I would, you know, really steer people toward the stuff that they feel that personal connection to. You know, anything that you want to listen to in a room that gives you comfort. You know, one of the first things that jumped out in my mind was like Marvin Gaye. You know, like put on, you know, I mean, obviously there are reasons you might put on the song Let's Get It On, but it also just sounds fantastic and warm and complements the crackle that you get when you play a record.
Well, we've got a copy of it here. Let's give it a listen for 15, 20 seconds or so. So can you hear the crackle over there in Washington, Stephen Thompson?
Well, I'm listening through a phone line, so there's a little bit of the crackle as filtered through a tin can.
But it does put you in a time and place.
Absolutely, and I think that you know a lot of just, you know, I talk a lot about comfort music, you know, just music that makes you not only, there's feel good music, but there's also feel better music, and I think that. You know, to me, you know, what the that warm kind of slow sizzle of the needle on a vinyl record, you know, that complements certain music.
And we talked a little bit about this, but the idea of album art, the album cover, I mean, they're so big compared to a CD even, or the cassettes when they tried to do art on those, and certainly, you know, the little stamp size thing you see on your smartphone.
Yeah.
I mean, there is something about that too, I think, that, you know, that idea that you can look at it and hold it and touch it.
Yeah, I like the fact that album art seems to suddenly be a little bit more important. You know, I remember fairly recently thinking how sad it was that there were albums that I loved where I had no idea what the cover art even looked like. And as much as I am thrilled to see the cassette go the way of the way of the dodo, because that's a terrible medium, I like the fact that there's this realization that, you know, what you put as your album art is, you know, can be displayed on the walls of your biggest fans, and I feel like more and more I'm getting back to having a sense of what what art is accompanying albums. And yeah, I you know, it's interesting. I recently bought a couple of frames for LPs, you know, to decorate my house, and that's a very nice, you know, because it's nice. I mean, we identify with our favorite music. Our favorite music really speaks to you know, to who we are, and so the idea of buying an album and then putting it on display in your house, not merely just having its spine available so you can find it, but putting it out there so it's like, this is what I love, this is what I listen to, and it has as much visual appeal as it does audio appeal.
So which album was the first one to go on the wall?
For me, it's one of my favorite albums of all time. It's just a sentimental favorite of mine. An album actually, coincidentally or not, called Your Favorite Music by a band called Clem Snide, which is just one of my favorite bands of all time. It's just one of my favorite albums. You talk about feel better music. That thing brings my blood pressure down about 20 points every time I put it on.
Let's take a quick call from Phil, who's in Duluth, Minnesota this morning. Hi, Phil.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering how you feel about FLAC format. I don't know if you're familiar with it at all.
Lossless compression?
Yeah, FLAC is lossless. I haven't heard a lot on vinyl, but I know that FLAC sounds so much better than MP3. You get the depth, you get the space, the sound sounds phenomenal. I just wondered how you felt about that in comparison to vinyl.
Yeah, I mean, FLAC, you're still talking about a digital format. I mean, it's you know, you're basically, the idea is you're not compressing the sound of something like a CD to where, you know, you have the degradation in sound quality where they're sort of skimming the high and low end. You know, it's more comparable, I would say, to a CD. Now, I personally, you know, I like my music to sound as much as possible like it's supposed to sound, but I've come to terms over the years with some of the losses that you get from CDs. So I think FLAC is roughly equivalent. What audiophiles who love vinyl, you know, will, like a previous caller, will sort of say, well, it's different. You don't have that as much of a kind of warm three-dimensional feel. So, you know, I would say FLAC is very equivalent to CDs.
And Stephen Thompson, before we let you go, the future of vinyl, I mean, if you can look 20 years down the road, are we still going to be able to buy a new record?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I hope so. I'm sort of a fan of anything that that causes people to value and treasure music and pay for it, if at all humanly possible, so that industry can survive and thrive. I think so. I mean, I think obviously it's hard to see into the future. It's, you know, it would have been hard, 30 years ago to anticipate that we would all walk around with with something about a quarter the size of a deck of playing cards that can hold all the music we've ever owned. But I think that vinyl certainly has a future as a nice, tangible way for people to own and display their music.
Well, Stephen Thompson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Stephen Thompson is an editor and reviewer for NPR Music who has some ideas about what attracts listeners to vinyl. Robin Cherry produced this hour. Justin Williams provided us with on-air production. We had on-air direction from Christy Taylor. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Why this is like hell to me, and it's 33 and a third.